Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. military carried out airstrikes in positions in Iraq used by the militant group Hezbollah brigades tonight. That, according to the Pentagon, saying President Biden ordered the response to attacks earlier Christmas Day. ABC's Andy Field in Washington.
The U.S. strikes in response to that group attacking American coalition forces in the region, including one at Erbil Air Base that injured three U.S. personnel, one still in critical condition.
U.S. military leaders say the militant facilities were destroyed. A number of militants were likely killed. There are no signs that any civilians were affected. Hamas rejecting a peace proposal by Egypt. It said that a panel of experts should be controlling Gaza. A target of a swatting attempt at her home in Rome, Georgia, this morning, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Local police saying someone called in a fake emergency to draw armed officers or SWAT teams to her home. This is ABC News. Beyonce's childhood home in Houston caught fire today. The family living there escaped safely. A long-standing tradition in Wisconsin today, more than 4,000 people gathered at a convention center in downtown Milwaukee to eat Christmas dinner together at the 34th Annual Salvation Army Christmas Family Feast. Salvation Army Major Beverly Gates.
This is an opportunity to make sure that everyone has a good meal to eat. Also, it's a time for people to get together for fellowship and just to not have to be alone.
Lessons from Mom in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jonathan Kirk, also known as the chart-topping rap artist DaBaby, hosted a Christmas giveaway, handing out presents and clothes to less fortunate members of his community. Kirk says helping those in need is something he learned from his mother.
Even while struggling, she always helped somebody else. She always gave back. She always helped somebody else, even when she needed help herself. So that's something that's been instilled in me, man. You know, that's in my heart. I get that heart from my mother.
Jonathan Kirk's tribute. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court says it will adopt new legislative maps in time for next year's election, unless the Republican-controlled legislature can pass maps that Democratic Governor Tony Evers will sign. All parties will be allowed to submit new maps to the court, along with expert evidence and supporting arguments. The court will appoint one or more consultants to look at the maps and issue reports. It's the end of the line for one of Wisconsin's most beloved local businesses. Lane's Bakery in Madison closed its doors Sunday. Lane's goes back to 1954. Owner Charles Lane is the grandson of the original owner, and he's been there for 40 years. Charles and his wife Becky say they're ready to retire. Last we knew, the Lanes were holding out hope a new buyer will start up the bakery again. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Packers get the win in Carolina. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The final score, 33-30. Packers were leading by two touchdowns. Rookie Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, brought his team back. Had they put in new plays?
You know, we didn't have these magical new plays. We didn't have these, magical new schemes. We had some new stuff in. But ultimately, we talk about all year, it's just execution.
The Packers are now 7-8 and still have a chance to make the playoffs. How did Jordan Love perform? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought Jordan did an outstanding job.
we just never quite got into a great rhythm in the second half.
Love is running out of receivers. Christian Watson still dealing with a hamstring injury. Jaden Reed unable to play because of an injured toe. Dontavian Wicks suffered a chest injury after scoring a touchdown.
Christian being out and Jay Reed being out, guys had to step up. Rome had to step up. Wicks had to step up. Just he's having more opportunities in that role with the guys injured. And obviously with him getting hurt, more guys got to step up.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain continues for tonight, breezy with temps falling slowly through the 40s. And more rain likely tomorrow in the morning, cloudy for the afternoon. Temps fall out of the 40s into the 30s. A mix of sun and clouds in mid-30s for Wednesday. It's 42 right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Something bigger, something that matters, and that you can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We felt that way too. I'm Sergeant First Class Chris Hewitt from Glencoe, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. We are people just like you, and together we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit nationalguard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and the station.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Today to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Well, you know, that's a coincidence. We have Barb on, and Barb's one of our all-time great guests here. And I just want to introduce Barb. Fabre is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. She's an enrolled member of White Earth Ojibwe Nation. And Barb has been a lifelong child advocate. And we always have fun and learn so much when Barb comes on. Welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Bonjour. Happy to be here, as always.
You know, we always talk about, like, really interesting things about our relatives out there, and it's really cool how You work with kids, children, parents. You know, we have a lot of fun, and we want to talk a little bit tonight about Tribal Blueprint. And I would really love to hear what Tribal Blueprint is.
Sure. So it's been a long process and project between the Bipartisan Policy Center and Indigenous Visioning. And we've been talking about childcare for years. The Bipartisan Policy Center is out of Washington, D.C., and Linda Smith's been on here with me before. And she and I, and Rob Grunewald also helped us. But it's the Invisible Children, Invisible Families, a blueprint for supporting the childcare needs of American Indian and Alaska Native families, is a result of several years spent examining the childcare and early learning needs of our tribal communities, researching and understanding to which extent current level funding that goes out to tribes is definitely not enough. And the more we looked, the more we found.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about what you found in the insights with this 2 years of research?
Sure. The three takeaways and recommendations is strengthening communication and collaboration between states, governments, and tribal governments. It's very hodgepodgey, and not every state, not every tribe does it. So in order to really work together for the families sharing the same space of tribes and states, you know, we want to recommend that that happens everywhere in every state. The other one is new approaches for tribes to serve members off reservation in the urban areas. We have a lot of families in the urban areas, and this is members, descendants, and they are not receiving the services the tribe offers on their homeland. Thirdly, reforming federal funding to address the tribal needs and using data-driven methods. There is no formula for it. It's just a percentage, and it's not based on anything. And because many tribes may not have, you know, data systems where they can tell how many, you know, members and descendants they have and can serve, you know, it's really a guessing game by every tribe that receives that funding. And I'll back up a little bit. The Child Care Development Block Grant is what states receive and tribes receive to create child care systems.
Yeah, and you hit it on the nose, too. I think when people are enrolled members and their family is descendants, a lot of times they don't get counted. And I know one of the most interesting things I've learned over the years of doing this show is how big the urban community is, Barb.
It's huge. There's in the report, we were able and fortunate enough to find some data that showed, I want to say there was like 800,000 just in the urban Minnesota setting, and that's membership and descendants that self-identify as Native American. That's a lot of people, and there are no tribal childcare programs, very few. There's, I think they counted over 4,000 children from birth to 3. And there's maybe 2 programs in the metro that are urban, are Native. And then there's not Tribal Head Start. Good news, Tribal McVee, which is a tribal home visiting, that just recently was able to go through a Minneapolis agency to receive that. But we get a lot of kids there, and they need services.
Yeah, and you know, I got to let our audience know, too, when it comes to this colonized blood quantum, when I was teaching, I had Native kids that were full blood Native, but from different tribes. So that's a challenge too. What other challenges have you run into?
Well, nobody has the right data, not right. even the census. And you know how the census is in Indian country, you know, it's kind of hit and miss, and, you know, but there's just so many families that are not receiving services, and that's what we wanted to highlight in this, and especially in the urban communities across the state. And if we want our children to be in high quality, culturally relevant, where the child care provider is from, you know, looks like them, talks like them, you know, that's huge. That means a lot to children and families.
Exactly. Hey, we're here with Barb Parbre, and we're talking about the tribal blueprint research, which is really opening up some eyes, I imagine, through this research. And we're talking a little bit about that. You know, there's some recommendations. What are some of the recommendations that came out of this?
Well, we definitely want to have more states to have annual tribal consultations. And it's a two-way street. We also encourage tribes to reach out to their states if it's not happening. Because by talking and working together, they can help identify the needs and come up with solutions to serve our families in the urban setting. You know, there's a lot that can happen when tribes and states meet. And like I said, there's some that do it very well, and there's many that don't do it at all. And that's such a disservice to families, both on the reservation and in the rural or in the metro areas. So, and we found that, the data doesn't represent our people, both on the reservation and in the urban setting. So we need to get a handle on that so that we can have our fair funding.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Barb, hold on for another segment. This is always really interesting talking to you about this, and especially with this tribal blueprint research and what it's telling us. Thank you for being on, and we're going to grab you on another segment here. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Thanks to everyone who's continued to support AM950. Good news, the AM950 2024 calendar is ready to go, featuring photos I took around Minnesota and important progressive dates. Members that sign up with a one-time $25 membership will receive a 2024 AM950 calendar as a thank you. Make a one-time $50 or $100 donation, you'll get the AM950 calendar and the brand new AM950 tote bag as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com for all the details on the membership. That's am950radio.com. Thank you so much for supporting AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minnesotans are hardy. We don't let snow or ice get in our way. We have places to go, so making sure your vehicle is in prime shape for winter driving is so important. Take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota for all your service needs. I was just there. I got my oil and filters replaced, and they did a complete safety check to make sure my vehicle can tackle what winter has up its sleeve. And they service all makes and models of vehicles. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com and use their super easy Toyota service scheduler to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota, on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Gold. Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. We're excited to have this partnership on Native Roots Radio and get to host great guests here and have conversations around early childhood development, because we know that our next generations are so, so important to our community. You can learn more at littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, thanks, Haley. And we're here with Barb Fabre, and she's the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. And we're talking about the Tribal Blueprint Project, and I think I accidentally called it the Tribal Blueprint Research, but it's a project, and we're kind of talking a little bit about the recommendations that are coming up. And right now, I'd like to find out a little bit about communication and collaboration, and if there's some cool examples you can give our listening audience about that.
Sure. So one of the biggest things that we just talked about was the data. So as you know, tribes don't have many tribes don't have a data system. Well, we feel that there's, you know, the federal government should allow additional funding in whatever avenue they choose to, so that tribes can support and maintain their own data systems. And unless we can tell our story through data, you know, we really are a silent and invisible population. And so, you know, we BIA, for example, I believe they only count the tribal members, but that doesn't, you know, count the descendants, the second, third, fourth, fifth generation. Right. I'm like, I'm with you, Robert. The blood quantum needs to go. It's hurting our people and our tribes in the future.
Definitely colonized thinking. And I know there's some nations that have changed that. And but again, data, you know, you don't want to sink a tribe with having too many members, but you also want to do it in a good way and be open to our relatives. So this is part of a big conversation that we have here sometimes, but it fits right in here with the blueprint. We need to reach out to our relatives and help them and support them. You know, that what else do you think about the strategies? I mean, how do we advocate and for recognizing and supporting the needs of these young ones that are beyond the reservation boundaries, like we're talking about?
Right. If we had, I don't even know if tribes have that data of members living off the reservation, whether it's members or descendants. I don't think anybody has that. And if federal funding is based on the number of members,
right,
and I say that loosely, you know, then we're not counting all of our members and descendants. You know, we're doing a disservice to our tribes by not providing that. So, you know, it's all in the data. The other thing is that we, you know, we went to Montana and we visited many tribes. Mm-hmm. And we found, just even here in Minnesota, I hear it all the time, we find parents, because there's such a lack of childcare, they're driving an hour, you know, yeah, on winter roads just to get to childcare. And, you know, one of the parents that we interviewed out there, you know, he said, he overcame a lot just to get where he was. He was enrolled in their tribal college. And, you know, he had a life of challenges, and he got to college and his biggest challenge was finding childcare, and he felt that that shouldn't even be an issue for him, and it really shouldn't. We should be able to also license childcare providers in the metro area again, so that children are, you know, with people that look and talk like them, mm-hmm. and there's familiarity with our environments and our cultural and language. So there's just so many gains for tribes if many of the recommendations you know, are looked at and even changed on the federal level.
There's
just so many things happening in the urban area, and there's many families that are not receiving those services. So just think about that. You know, they're not receiving tribal Head Start, you know, and many families live off the reservation for many reasons. And many is, you know, economics. They have to go to the city to find the jobs because there isn't a lot on a reservation. So we wrote this hoping that, you know, policymakers will take a look at what we found, what we heard. We did lots of surveys. We did lots of interviews, site visits, and talked to agencies both on the reservation and off the reservation. And there's a lot of common themes there.
Wow. And Haley, we've had this discussion on the show, and I can't remember, was it 65% urban Indians as opposed to 35% living on the res here in Minnesota? Was there some number that was unbelievable? Yeah. I was surprised to hear that, but I've heard it more than once, Barb.
Yeah, we found there was, I believe it was around 80% of the members of a tribe living off the reservation. And again, we do not know, is that just members or is that descendants? So, you know, it's not a true story we're telling, even with those numbers. They're probably double.
So we need reforming in the federal funding, and we need to talk about this a lot and consistently talk about it, Barb.
Right. You know, and in tribes and states, you know, if they met regularly, you know, they could figure this out for their state. So that was one of our big recommendations was for tribes and states just to meet regularly and find out, listen to the memberships both on the reservation and off, and how to come up with funding or services that can reach down to the urban setting. For example, the childcare. It's not in statute, but it's in a policy at the federal level that you can't serve families off the reservation no more than 20. One said 20 miles, another said 35 miles. Hmm. So, you know, that could be an easy fix, and we are asking that tribes, federal programs allow tribes to go off reservation when it comes to things like that. They already do it in Minnesota for Indian child welfare and for foster care, so they should be able to do it with child care.
Absolutely. And, you know, Barb, you know this, and I know you always come up with great stuff. We need a call to action that our listeners and people that will be listening to this once it turns into a podcast and is out there again. What kind of call to action, especially with the policymakers, can we do as citizens or support you and Indigenous Visioning and All My Nation Rise? How can we do that?
Talk to your legislators, seriously, and, you know, talk to them and tell them your story and tell them, ask them why, you know, if you're living in Minneapolis, for example, why your tribe can't support you and your children with quality childcare. You know, just like Little Moments Count, you know, we're all about making sure that children 0 to 5 or 0 to 12 are getting high quality. You know, our kids are not, they're hurting in school, and they're arriving at school not ready. Mm-hmm. And so when they're not ready, they have to catch up. in, you know, high quality childcare, Head Start, tribal Head Start, all those programs are there to ensure that children are ready, but only a small portion of children receive those services right now.
So along with that, what is your opinion of some of the most critical steps that need to be taken to ensure success? I hear a couple steps. Are there any more?
Well, definitely get involved, you know, especially with the tribes, your tribal leaders, and encourage your state leaders, officials, to have these tribal consultations. This is where all of this is discussed, and parents can go to it, programs can go to it.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The U.S. military carried out airstrikes in positions in Iraq used by the militant group Hezbollah brigades tonight. That, according to the Pentagon, saying President Biden ordered the response to attacks earlier Christmas Day. ABC's Andy Field in Washington.
The U.S. strikes in response to that group attacking American coalition forces in the region, including one at Erbil Air Base that injured three U.S. personnel, one still in critical condition.
U.S. military leaders say the militant facilities were destroyed. A number of militants were likely killed. There are no signs that any civilians were affected. Hamas rejecting a peace proposal by Egypt. It said that a panel of experts should be controlling Gaza. A target of a swatting attempt at her home in Rome, Georgia, this morning, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Local police saying someone called in a fake emergency to draw armed officers or SWAT teams to her home. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. High temperatures in Wisconsin this Christmas Day were expected to be as much as 20 degrees above normal in some places. 2023 is likely to go down as the 10th warmest year on record in Wisconsin. From New Year's Day through November, meteorologists say every month besides March, April, and July was above average. The National Centers for Environmental Information says the average temperature in Wisconsin this year is 47.6 degrees. Doctors are warning people not to overuse antibiotics this cold and flu season. Dr. Ken Redcross is a personal health consultant. He says antibiotics are ineffective against flu and the common cold. Flu season has peaked in February over the past 40 years, but has become less predictable since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain continues for tonight, breezy with temps falling slowly through the 40s. And more rain likely tomorrow in the morning, cloudy for the afternoon. Temps fall out of the 40s into the 30s. A mix of sun and clouds in mid-30s for Wednesday. It's 42 right now.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Only one to get.
Chamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at chamblattfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You know, it's Wednesday, and we're really excited to have our friend, our Ho-Chunk sister, Arvina Martin on, and she's executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and then just all-around groovy person, too, because we talk about a lot of things here, and we also talk about Emerge, and what better time? We have less than a year before election to really get our friends to run for office, and Emerge supports women across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome.
But well, thank you so much for having me. I almost said welcome as well.
Right. Arvina is and might have to I'm going to go to New York in a week or so, might have to host again. Ooh. But I talked to our president of Ho-Chunk Nation about coming on Wednesday with you, and we can have just a whole hour of round robin fun.
That would be awesome. I would be super excited to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking
that of, that would be fun.
Yeah. And he's a personality plus and really smart guy. And I'm happy that he's our president. Really, we don't talk a lot of Ho-Chunk politics here because of my other job, but I really support our president, John Greendeer. Just a really smart guy that really is there for the people.
And has a good heart.
Yes. Yes, definitely. No. Arvina, you know, there's some exciting news, and we talked a little bit about it, but we're glad that we have Arvina on because there's a couple things. Arvina's based out of Wisconsin, and Arvina also was the first Native American city council member in the city of Madison and is really plugged in politically, as I saw when I was down there being the voice of Wisconsin during the convention, that so plugged in. But wow, some really good news, kind of catching up to Minnesota because we have the same thing here and we have a couple schools, but nevertheless, really exciting news about how the free tuition came out.
Yeah, UW-Madison announced on Monday that they are going to be starting next fall, any student who is a member, an enrolled member of one of Wisconsin's 11 federally recognized tribes, will be able to attend University of Wisconsin-Madison, the flagship university of the University of Wisconsin system, home of the Badgers, yay! And awesome, amazing women's volleyball team, as well as women's hockey. I guess the guys are okay too at hockey, but you know, the women are really kicking sheench in volleyball, and women's volleyball made it to the Final Four just recently. But anyways, free tuition, free room and board expenses for Native students who are members of one of the 11 federally recognized tribes of Wisconsin. And then I believe it was yesterday that it was also announced that the law school is going to do the same thing. So for any of you Native folks in Wisconsin that have been thinking about going to college or going back to college or going back to get a degree, you know, maybe this is your sign that you should go check it out and see what your options are, because there's potential for your tuition to be covered. And then you don't have to worry about student loans, et cetera. Especially if you're looking at things like law school, those student loans can be huge in making the decision. I know that I thought about going to law school for a while because I'm interested in and work in politics and such. And then was like, I don't want to take out debt. And have realized since that time that I am not an attorney type. I am, you know, by nature, I am an organizer, and that is not necessarily the same skill set that attorneys have. So I'll continue organizing people while we have the people that are good, the attorneys that can interpret laws and policy.
Yeah, absolutely. Not everyone can do the same thing, but I think you'd be a good lawyer too. I think, you know, there's all different kinds of laws, so you don't have to, be my lawyer when I get all these speeding tickets in Wisconsin. So there's other kinds of law. But, you know, we without putting a damper on things, you know, my understanding is the Republicans, certain Republicans don't like that.
Yeah, I've heard rumblings of things happening, but nothing official has come out yet. But this is, it's interesting because this announcement came out basically on the heels of the UW Regents voting to agree to a, and I'm using, for those of you who aren't watching us online, I'm using air finger quotes right now to say compromise, and a compromise that allowed the university to give pay raises to their staff at the expense of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion staff on campus. They're freezing positions with the intent on making them, on cutting positions, as well as making a lot of those positions student worker positions, which are completely different than a full-time employee position. When the decision was signed as part of the joint committee on employee relations, aka JOKER, in this case the acronym is kind of appropriate. You know, the agreement was signed, but you know, the state assembly speaker Robin Voss said, well, this is just the beginning of our fight against DEI, and Wisconsinites don't care about diversity. And so I don't expect that this announcement is going to go over without comments. The good thing for this position, or for the tuition, is that these scholarships, this funding, is coming from private sources, so it's not coming from the state at all. So they can't really do anything about that particular piece of the puzzle. But I'm sure we're going to hear about more attempts to cut staff, more attempts to cut programs that really do great things for student, particularly BIPOC students on campus. You know, it's a pretty lonely place. It can be a pretty lonely place on a giant campus when there aren't that many other BIPOC folks. And you know, the work that DEI staff do in order to retain students of color, but also to make sure that their experiences on campus are good and positive. I mean, that's a really hard thing to measure, and it can't really be measured, you know, as in like there are this many students and now it's grown, when that's not necessarily what is the point of these programs. And, you know, I think about the events that Wangchuck, the UW undergrad student group for Native students, the events that they put on for Native November, culminating in, and I know we talked about it, culminating in Dallas Goldtooth coming to speak on campus. You know, they did a lot of events. A lot of that was spurred on, you know, students did the work for that, but they were assisted by staff. There was money available, and this is, this is 1 month out of the year. And it was, I know it's how important it is to have, events that celebrate culture, that celebrate the things that are important to you and values in your life. And a lot of those time, those things fall by the wayside. So, you know, DEI funding is a really big deal. And when you want to think about retention of particularly BIPOC and as well as queer students, you know, having that program and having safe spaces available where people can let go and take off that mask of like participating in society, a society that doesn't quite welcome you. It's really important to have those spaces in order for students who are BIPOC or who are queer or who are different in any other kind of way, that they have those kind of spaces. I know the term safe spaces gets kind of a bad rap, but like having like a home base or a place where you can just be yourself is so important, because a lot of kids have that in cafeterias. A lot of kids have that, you know, at student unions, and it's not the same. And to think about it as the same, it really does a detriment to our BIPOC and queer students on campuses. So,
you know, when I was teaching, I always had a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly for any one of my students to come in, because, you know, Arvina, we're all about community, and sometimes they need a break and they need some food in their stomach and they need things that you're talking about. And that's a basic need for our people, not just our students, but everybody.
Absolutely. It's having an appropriate space to just let go and to just be, and not having to have, I mean, I think about my time in college and how outside of my Native American studies classes, if anything came up about Natives, every single eye would in the room would turn to me. And, you know, especially students of color or queer students, feel like they have to be the resource, and they end up doing teaching to their fellow students. And that's not what you're there for. You are there to learn. And it can be really, really hard to have that kind of wall up all the time in order to protect yourself, in order to get your education.
Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we got another segment with Arvina, and we're really excited, and I want to get her take on Minnesota's new flag, and then talk about a little history of the Madison city flag. I have a story to tell you before you bring up your story.
Ooh.
Yes. Hey, this is Native Roots, Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Hey, it's Tom. Fossil fuels continue to have negative impacts on our environment. Luckily, there are more ways now than ever to use renewable energy in your home or business. All Energy Solar offers smart energy solutions like custom solar paneling, electric vehicle chargers, and energy storage. Solar panel systems can last for decades, meaning you can help the environment and cut back on electric bills for years to come. There are incentives and rebates available to most people who install solar energy, too. Last year, the federal solar tax credit increased to a 30% tax credit. This incentive can be used in combination with other incentives from your utility, county, or city. But don't delay or miss out, as many of these incentives are limited to only a certain number of people. So have a professional from All Energy Solar help you discover how solar can power up your property while saving on your energy costs. Call 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
Located just north of 50th in France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Arena.
Good one.
Good one.
That's, a little delay there. The little wolf that's just learning how to howl.
Oh my God. Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, and she's executive director of Merge Wisconsin. And I have a cold, so it sounds like merge, but I meant to say emerge.
Emerge.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to ask you about Minnesota's state flag. But first, before we do that, I want to bring up, have I ever told you a story that I lived in Madison and that I marched in the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps?
I had no idea.
And
the Madison Scouts used to practice right in the big field right by where my house is. So you probably practiced over there, right next to where I live.
Was it off Johnson Parkway?
No, it was off of Mineral Point on Seago Road. It was at the time Van Heist School, middle school, and now Alabama Hamilton.
Well, I'm talking about the 70s, and I know you.
I
lived there in the 70s, and I graduated in 79, so. A few years living there, but I just wanted to talk about the Madison flag for a second with that background. And so the Madison, the history of the Madison flag, Rick and Dennis Stone, who were members of the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps, designed this flag when they were kids in 1962. So that's just kind of funny, and I know there's a story, a more updated story about their design, but I thought I'd just throw that out there. It's pretty funny. Small world. I know Dennis really well. And,
really?
Yeah. He's an alumni like I am.
Nice. Well, I lived in Madison in the 70s, too, for about a month and a half because I was born in November 1979. So I lived there for a month and a half in the 70s.
It still counts.
But so while I was on city council, the city of Madison flag, which is, it's a great flag. I don't know if anybody here is aware of the organization called the North American Vexillological Association. That word is still very hard for me to say. It is like a group of people that study flags and like the design of flags. And the city of Madison's flag was always rated A+ or like at the top of city flags because the design is simple and it's elegant and it's very nice. The only problem was that there was a Zia Sun symbol in the center, which, you know, for those of you who are familiar, There are not Zia Pueblo. The Zia Pueblo has nothing to do with Madison, Wisconsin. The Stone Brothers, however, you know, saw this design. It looked like kind of like our cap, like an overhead view of our Capitol building. So, you know, when they picked this design back in the 60s when they were kids, they weren't thinking about, yeah, about that design. And so when I was elected, I reached out to the Zia Pueblo, and we, I told them that, you know, we're changing this. And basically we kept the same design. We just took out that symbol. Right. And instead put like a yellow dot in the middle of like the cross that's there. So it's, you know, some color and everything. But you know, the design that the Stone Brothers came up with was really great and really reflected the city being on an isthmus and where the Capitol building is. It's a great flag. So, you know, we were able to keep the spirit of the flag and what it represents to the city of Madison while taking out cultural appropriation and a symbol that didn't really belong to us. And when we did it, my fellow alder who I worked on this project with, Mo Cheeks, we had a flag printed and we gave that new version to them, to the Stone Brothers, that night, in honor of their contribution to the city of Madison history and a really important symbol to the city. So, you know, I've been following this story about Minnesota's flag and trying to take out some of the inappropriateness, and I'm really impressed with the flag that was decided upon. It's a really great flag, and because I spent so much time reading about the opinions of members of the Vexillological Society, that I kind of feel like I understand what makes a good flag design. And one of the number one thing that they said don't do is don't put a seal on it. Like a state seal, not like an animal. If you want to put a seal on your flag, I suppose it's fine. But the simplification of the design and the star, you know, representing the North Star, and then the blue field that represents the Mississippi River, I think it's amazing. That's a really great flag that Minnesotans can be really proud of.
Yeah. Were you familiar with the old one with the Indian running away and the guy with the gun ready to shoot him?
I had no idea until recently that was what was, it was just on my list as one of the flags that has a seal on it. But holy, no, like, come on.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of, the Sioux uprising. For some reason, there's a native on a horse flying through this guy's field, and then there's a big shotgun leaning against a tree stump ready for him to take action against this Indian. Yeah. Oh, there, you can't really,
I'll find a better one.
Yeah. Haley, it's hard to see, but there's it was the seal too. But so we're happy. I'm happy regardless. And I think change is good and change is inevitable. But can you see way in the back there?
There's a horse.
And then there's a stump right up there with this farmer to the left of the center of the flag, and he's got a gun ready to do business.
Oh, so, all of you radio listeners, if you could see my face right now, it's not a happy face. It actually reminds me of I can't remember what the name of the town was, but it's in upstate New York, I believe, that has a town flag, and it's supposed to represent like fisticuffs, like some kind of like hand-to-hand combat battle between a native person and a white person. Whoa. And literally, like, the picture on the flag looks like the, you know, they're both standing there, but the white guy looks like he's like reaching out to choke the Indian guy. And I, like, to me, that's like South Park levels of like WTF-ness, you know? Like, I can't, I'm really proud of Minnesota for taking out that, let's be polite and call it questionable imagery.
Exactly.
And, you know, people will talk about like, oh, there's all this other stuff that's way more important. You know, why are we working on this? To which I always say, we can work on more than one thing at the same time. Number one, we can work on the flag, but we can, while working on trying to make sure people have access to housing, food, fresh water, et cetera. But the other thing is, there is no reason why a flag that represents a state or a city should include, you know, denigrating some of the people in that city by like having them being targets for some pioneers to crack their gun on a stump. Be like how, I don't know. This was well thought out, and it's lovely. It's lovely. You guys have a great state flag.
Appreciate it. I like our seal, too. It's got the loon in there, but we'll...
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Did you know there's an actual Candy Cane Lane in Wisconsin? It's only real during the holidays, but one Milwaukee area neighborhood has been sharing its holiday cheer for close to 40 years. 300 residents along West Oklahoma Avenue in West Dallas decorated to be part of Candy Cane Lane this year, free to drive through and enjoy. But since 1984, $3 million in donations have been raised and given to the MAC Fund to fight cancer. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.